With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill.
Draft week, football coaches, and welcome to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester. Today, we've got a special episode to help prepare listeners for their two QB drafts this Labor Day weekend. Naturally, I'll be joined by Greg Smith of 2QBs.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Greg Sauce. And before we jump over to the convo, I want to thank everyone who entered the contest for the free Draft Wizard Hall of Fame upgrade. Our winner, however, was Jeremy Barker. Everyone who entered will be rolled over to our next sweepstakes, which is going to provide the winner a free My Playbook upgrade. And I'll let you know once that starts. Also, entries to the Podcast League have officially closed. So we'll take a look in the next day or two and select the 14 winners, and then we'll notify you guys by email and Twitter. Thanks to everyone who entered. All right, let's move over to the mock draft. Hi, Greg. Thanks for joining us on the show again.
Hey, Bobby. How you doing? I'm glad to be here.
I'm doing great. I tell you what, this is the best week of the year sports-wise because everybody's doing a draft this weekend or several drafts this weekend.
I've got two myself. I've got an auction later tonight, and then I have one more draft, a 14-team keeper tomorrow. So, yeah, I'm right in the thick of it. It's a good time to be drafting fantasy all the time.
Man, those deep keeper leagues are awesome, and I love myself an auction draft. I wish maybe next year we'll have to do an auction mock. That would take too long. We'll figure out a way to talk about that a little more because auction drafts need to happen more often, and I'm sure a lot of people listening are wanting to hear about that. But today we're going to be doing a two quarterback mock draft because we had a couple listeners ask for it. And I know a lot of people are doing these two QB leagues now. I like them myself. And obviously you do since you, you're with 2QBs.com. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your site, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I believe and the other writers and owners at the site believe that two quarterback leagues are the future of fantasy football. We've long played in formats where, you know, every starting running back gets drafted, every, you know, key starting wide receiver gets drafted. Why shouldn't that be the case with quarterbacks as well, especially in an era where passing is so prevalent, where the quarterback position is as deep as it's ever been with regards to fantasy. If you play in a one quarterback league, there are a lot of usable and very good quarterbacks sometimes that just don't even get drafted or used on a regular basis. And that's a travesty in my mind. I feel like these guys should matter in fantasy football. And so with that in mind, myself, Sal Stefanili, Joshua Lake, we started 2QBs.com. You got to spell that out, TWOQBS. And it's a site dedicated to the two quarterback format. We also touch on Superflex, which is, you know, instead of having two quarterbacks, you have one quarterback and then a generic flex spot where you can also start a QB. They generally play out like two QB leagues, but the Superflex position affords a little bit more flexibility for deeper formats like the one we're drafting today, like this 12-team league, whereas, you know, there are 36 starting quarterbacks that are going to need to be drafted in a 2QB 12-team league, you know, for each team to have two quarterbacks and one backup. But there are only 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, right? So the Superflex spot allows you to play around with that and you know, give you a little bit of a safety net if you're not quite ready to dip your toes into the full-on 2QB experience. But yeah, come check out the site. We'd really appreciate it. We got a lot of great writers and a lot of great content, all sorts of different 2QB and Superflex strategy from Dynasty to Redraft. So yep, give us a look.
Whoever built the first standard league, I don't understand why they picked two running backs and just one quarterback. I mean, I understand for deeper formats that makes sense, but you know, the super flex makes all the sense in the world. Our podcast league has 18 teams like the one you mentioned, and we're also using a super flex. I mean, sure, there are going to be some weeks where six teams are on a bye, so you've only got 26 quarterbacks, but you know, that adds to the strategy, and I agree. I think it's the future of fantasy football. I think it'll be standard within 5 years. So if you guys who are listening haven't played in a league like this, jump into one. It's not too late. Go find yourself a 2QB league, even if it's just, you know, a Yahoo public league or an ESPN public league, just to get your feet wet and figure out what's going on, because there's a lot of interesting strategy that comes with it. And that's what we're going to break down today. So Greg and I presume producer JP all have Draft Wizard open. Draft Wizard is our tool where you can draft against the experts. You don't have to go into a Yahoo mock draft or an ESPN mock draft and take 45 minutes and draft against a bunch of 12-year-olds who are talking trash and taking Tim Tebow first overall. Instead, you can do a mock draft in, what, 5-7 minutes and against the experts, so you can get a real good feel for your draft slot, all kinds of different league settings, and then it grades you at the end. It's brilliant. It's my favorite tool that we have on the site. If you haven't used it, there's a quick 3-minute instructional video. You probably won't need it, though. So what we're going to do, if you're listening, go ahead and stop the podcast, because I'm going to share the league settings with you. You can all follow along. You can all compete against your friends later, because it's going to give us a grade at the end. So what we're doing, 12-team league, we're all drafting 8th in the draft order. We've got 2 quarterbacks, 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers, 1 tight end, 1 flex, that's wide receiver, running back, tight end, and then 4 bench spots. Greg, are you ready to go?
I sure am.
All right, let's start our mock draft. And who are you looking at here in the first round?
Well, we had something interesting happen here in my particular mock where 5 of the first 7 picks were quarterbacks. And this is not uncommon in a 12-team 2QB league. Because of that fact we talked about earlier where, you know, there aren't quite enough starting quarterbacks to go around. Some people feel the need to get those top QBs right away and just lock those positions down. So the top 5 guys are all off the board, plus Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham, which leaves me Julio Jones at number 8. And that feels like a gift from the gods. He is my pick.
That's great. In standard leagues, I'm taking Julio Jones first overall, even over Antonio Brown.
Yeah, he's a guy who should go in the top 3 or top 5, depending, like almost regardless of format.
Now, in these 2QB leagues, are you taking a quarterback first overall, and who is it?
I'm not. No, I'm a late round quarterback advocate, just in 2QB leagues, but basically across all of fantasy football. And, you know, it doesn't hold quite as much water in a 2QB league. You can definitely win your draft or win your league by drafting quarterbacks, you know, right from the first pick. But I found that in general, it's harder to replace the elite wide receivers and the elite running backs than it is to replace for elite quarterbacks. So I tend to shy away from quarterback drafting in those first couple rounds.
Even though I haven't made my first pick here, I'll tell you guys my strategy. In these 2QB leagues, if you've got a flex, everyone's taking quarterbacks early, and all these great running backs slip. If you do this the right way, you can get 3 great running backs in the first 4 rounds, and then everyone else is starting, you know, the Theo Riddicks, which he's a fine fantasy player, but if you can get Eddie Lacy as your 3rd running back, that is a huge upgrade over what other people have at running back. So that's my plan. With that being said, I would like to get one of the top quarterbacks early. Drew Brees is still on the board for me. There were 4 quarterbacks taken. Aaron Rodgers went with a 2nd pick, and he was the first quarterback taken. I don't think Drew Brees is going to make it around to me. So what I'm going to do, you guys all know I like the pick predictor, and I'm going to click on this tool, pick predictor here, and it tells me what the chances are that the player is going to be picked before my next selection. It says Drew Brees, 96% chance he'll be picked before I come back up. So I'm not taking any chances. Drew Brees is extremely consistent. I know he's going to be a top producer unless he gets hurt, but he's very durable. So I'm taking Drew Brees here, and we'll see what happens for me in round 2.
Yeah, if you compare him to my draft, you're actually getting a value on him because he went, you know, at 1-6 in this particular mock.
And Greg, who are you taking in the second round here?
In the second round, I'm still not really considering quarterbacks. I do like to wait at that position. So I'm looking at Lamar Miller. He's a first round talent at running back. And, you know, he does have the running back one in his range of outcomes. You know, the Houston Texans run a really high pace offense. And, you know, between his rushing and receiving ability, I think Lamar Miller's an easy pick for me at this point.
Lamar Miller is still available for me as well, and 43% of the experts say that that's the best player on the board. 31% say Gronk, and 25% say Dez Bryant. I could go with a second quarterback here and take Carson Palmer because I think he's right there in those top five or six quarterbacks, and then I think there's a pretty big drop-off. But I'm not going to do that because I really want those three running backs, and I think the best running back on the board, even though you've got Lamar Miller, I think it's Le'Veon Bell. I think Le'Veon Bell, when he comes back, is going to be the best running back in the league. And once you get into the fantasy playoffs, it doesn't matter how many games he missed at the start. If you make the fantasy playoffs, you've got the best quarterback in football. I'm sorry. You've got the best running back in football, and that's Le'Veon Bell. So I'm grabbing him right now and really hoping that Jamaal Charles slips to me in the next round because I thought about him here too.
Yeah, I think all three of those running backs are pretty close in value. I tend to prefer Charles and Miller over Bell, if only because I know they're playing the first 3 weeks. I do value that early season, quick start a little bit more than some other analysts.
Now, who are you looking at in round three, Greg?
So the quarterback position is starting to get picked clean here. According to ECR, the top-ranked QBs are Tyrod Taylor, Kirk Cousins, and Derek Carr. And while I do like Tyrod a lot, I'm still not quite ready to make a QB pick here in the third round. Like I have talked about at length so far, I do like to wait at the position. So I'm looking back at wide receivers and running backs again. Top running backs available, Mark Ingram, Devonta Freeman, LeSean McCoy. On the wide receiver side, it's Jordy Nelson, Amari Cooper, and T.Y. Hilton. I don't differentiate between those wide receivers all that much, and I don't think that they're all that much better than the guys who are a little bit further down, Sammy Watkins, Demaryius Thomas, Randall Cobb. Think there is a value drop off there, but it's not that big for me. So I'm actually going to go back to the running back well here. I'm going to lock up Mark Ingram. I'm going to look at some of that, high end running back talent that you were talking about. But, this could come back to bite me because we do start more wide receivers than running backs in this setup. And we'll see. I'm kind of banking on some late round wide receiver value here, but we'll see how it goes.
All right, on to round four, and the guy that I was really hoping would fall to me made it back to me. I just talked about how I didn't want a wide receiver this early, but somehow Demaryius Thomas is still there, and I'm not taking any chances. Demaryius Thomas is now on my team. What are you doing in this round, Greg?
Yeah, I like that pick. I think Demaryius is a guy who's a little undervalued right now, and I might just follow suit. He's my top-ranked wide receiver at this point, and he's still available for me, and I do need a wide receiver more than any other position. I could go with Tyrod at the QB spot, but I'm really going to embrace the late-round mentality at the QB position. I'm going to take Demaryius as well. It's kind of boring when we agree, isn't it?
It's all good. That just lets everyone know that Demaryius Thomas is really the best pick in that stage. I mean, I can't believe he's falling to the fourth round in some drafts.
Yeah, he's got the same buy as Julio Jones, but I don't really care about that stuff when I'm drafting in the early rounds.
Yeah. All right, this is a tough decision for me. There's a lot of guys that I like here. All pretty close together. Kirk Cousins is by far the best quarterback on the board, and you guys all know I love Kirk Cousins this year. There's an 84% chance he'll be gone next round, so if I want him, I've got to take him, but there's two guys that I like at quarterback. Hopefully they'll fall to me later. At running back, Thomas Rawls, who I used to be extremely high on, but I'm just so scared with Christian Michael just dominating in training camp and the preseason and Pete Carroll talking him up so much. Sure, if Rawls starts and he ends up being the workhorse, he could end up one of the top three running backs in the league. He was dynamite last year when he got a chance to play, but I'm not taking that kind of chance in the fifth round with a running back, especially since I already have Le'Veon Bell and Mark Ingram. So I'm looking at wide receivers again. I've got Eric Decker, Jarvis Landry, and Julian Edelman, but I'm going to reach here because I'm just, there's two guys I really want next round. One of them is Larry Fitzgerald, and the other one is Jonathan Stewart. And pick predictors tell me it's much more likely Fitzgerald is going to be there next round, so I'm taking Jonathan Stewart here as my number three running back. He's going to be my flex guy, and hopefully Fitzgerald drops to me. We'll see what happens.
I'm looking at a similar spread of wide receivers. I have Jeremy Maclin still available, but with that said, Tyrod did slip back to me here in the fifth round, and at this point, I feel it's probably worth it to take a quarterback. I do feel like that's a good value on Tyrod. That rushing upside he provides is really big, especially in a standard league like this, or standard scoring, I should say. So he's going to be my pick. I'm on the board with a quarterback.
Greg, that is a steal. I can't believe he dropped you that far. That's a nice pickup.
And that's why I like to wait at the position, because even if Tyrod isn't that guy who feels like the value, there's always almost always going to be one to two to even three or four quarterbacks that do slide down to a point where they're going below where they should. Yeah. And that just has to do with the fact that the guys who draft quarterbacks early really have to play catch up at the other positions. And that creates value at the QB position for those who wait.
I'll tell you what, Tyrod Taylor went pick round four, pick seven in my draft. So I'm shocked that he was there for you. And I'm shocked that this guy is here for me. If you guys listen, you know I love Jordan Reed. I think he's the best tight end value. I really don't even think it's close. You could make a case for Kobe Fleener. But if Jordan Reed stays healthy, he was dominant when he was healthy last year. 95% of the production, I've mentioned this stat before, 95% of the production of Rob Gronkowski when they both played. And I'm taking Jordan Reed, even though Fitzgerald's still there. And I'm crossing my fingers that Fitzgerald lasts. Pick Predictor says 50% chance. So let's see what happens.
Ah, you missed him, huh?
Yeah, it didn't work out. Oh, well,
that's too bad. Yeah, I like Reed, especially at this point in the draft when you can kind of compare him to the wide receivers who are going to be drafted. And you can say to yourself, well, how different are the stats really going to be? And I get to play Jordan Reed at the tight end position. The question with him is always just one of injury history and health. If you know those concussions start to pop up again, like, he's a guy who there's a little bit more risk with a guy like him at this point in the draft than someone like a wide receiver in general, if only because tight ends are asked to do a little bit more physical work, you know, blocking, catching passes over the middle of the field. But I think that you can't argue with taking him at this stage in the draft, that's for sure. He's not available for me though, so I'm turning back to the wide receivers. Jeremy Maclin's the highest rated guy. It shows him as a value, and you know, someone who 71% of the experts say I should pick, but I have Dante Moncrief ranked a little bit higher, and in a standard scoring settings league like this, I prefer that touchdown upside that Moncrief gives to that, say, PPR upside that Maclin gives. So Moncrief's my guy here. He's my third wide receiver.
Moncrief is way off the board for me. He went pick five in the fifth round. I would have loved to have him instead of Jonathan Stewart at that slot, but unfortunately he wasn't there for me. Your team's shaping up real nice, Greg. Can you give us a rundown on what your roster looks like right now?
Yeah, so I've got one of my quarterback spots filled with Tyrod Taylor. My starting running backs are Lamar Miller and Mark Ingram, and then a wide receiver, I have Julio Jones, Demaryius Thomas, and Dante Moncrief. So I have one quarterback, a tight end, and a flex spot to fill. Even in a standard league, I might still prefer to have a wide receiver in that flex spot at this point, if only because the running backs we're looking at tend to be timeshare guys or guys with limited opportunity, whereas there are still some wide receivers here who should get plenty of targets moving forward.
That's why I drafted my running backs a little bit early. I got Le'Veon Bell, Mark Ingram, and Jonathan Stewart. I don't think any of those guys are timeshare guys. Maybe Le'Veon Bell. Who knows what's going to happen with the Steelers, because D'Angelo Williams is a great running back, and he's got to get some carries. But I just think even if Bell doesn't get a ton of carries, he's going to be so productive that he's going to be one of the top fantasy running backs. So I'm happy with those guys. I've also got Demaryius Thomas, Jordan Reed, and as I mentioned, Drew Brees at quarterback. So now I'm in an interesting spot. This is my dead zone in the draft. Here in the seventh round, around, you know, pick 70 to 85, there's really no players that I think are good values at this spot. Jordan Matthews, I'm fairly fond of him. He finished his season with some good numbers. He outscored T.Y. Hilton, Evans, Cobb last season, but I'm just not sure he's going to take a step forward with their quarterback situation and, you know, Chip Kelly being gone. Who knows what's going to happen in Philly? So I'd prefer to avoid him. I could go get Andy Dalton, who's by far the best quarterback on the board, but I'd rather still wait for my guys. So here I am. I'm looking at a fourth running back in the seventh round in a 2QB league. And I know that's strange, but there's one guy sitting on the board who I think is going to be another workhorse, and it's Duke Johnson. And I'm going to scoop him up. Hopefully someone else who needs a workhorse running back in rounds four or five after, you know, their second running back gets hurt will call me, and we'll work out a trade for one of my four running backs. And if one of my guys gets hurt, I'm in great shape as far as I'm concerned. So I'm taking Duke Johnson here. I know it's a little bit of a reach, but that's who I'm going with.
Yeah, trading is so important in a league like this where, you know, as we've discussed, the there aren't quite enough quarterbacks to go around. So if you do have that depth at a certain position, like running back, like wide receiver, you can really use that leverage to your advantage in season to make trades. I'm looking at another wide receiver here or a quarterback. Like, I think I need to take a quarterback with one of my next two picks because I did wait so long to get Tyrod. I do want to have three guys, and we're just starting to run out of, you know, actual starters for me to draft. And so with that in mind, I don't think I'm going to use this pick on a quarterback, but next round, when it gets back to me, I probably will. So looking at the wide receivers who are available here, I've got John Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, and Marvin Jones as the top options in ECR. A little bit further down, Michael Crabtree is a guy that I think is a little undervalued, but I'm going to bank on him remaining undervalued and maybe try to sneak him later. So I'm going to take John Brown. There are some health concerns there with the concussions that he's been experiencing or the headaches that could be concussion related. But, you know, at this point in the draft, as my flex player, I don't mind going for, you know, a guy with a little more risk. And so John Brown's my pick.
This is a tough one. Another tough one, because I'm still in that dead zone as far as I'm concerned. I like some of the running backs available here. Arian Foster, Rashard Jennings. But I really need some wide receivers. I've only got one, Demaryius Thomas, and I've only got one quarterback. I think my quarterbacks are still going to last another round or two. So I'm just going to start scooping up the wide receivers I want, even though it's early. Josh Gordon, he's going to miss four games. If he comes back at all, he could be great. I'm going to get enough depth for wide receivers that I can take a chance here. I know my depth isn't going to be super high end, but I'm taking a chance with Josh Gordon. If he comes back and he's 80% of the wide receiver that he once was, this pick could win me a league. If not, so what? I just wasted an eighth round pick. Not that big of a deal. A lot of people end up dropping their eighth round pick at some point in the season. And I know you're going to say maybe if you're a bad drafter, but the fact is, there's a lot of waiver wire movement in the season, and an eighth round pick is not always super safe. So I'm taking a risk here. Josh Gordon is my eighth round pick.
Yeah, I actually have no problem with you drafting Josh Gordon in that spot, like at this point in the draft. My issue would be that you already drafted Le'Veon Bell, who we know is also going to miss the first three games. And I think that might be a little bit too much risk for me to want to take on in that sort of capacity. I mentioned earlier that now that we're looking at my pick, that I needed to get a quarterback. And sure enough, after I took John Brown, three quarterbacks went in the interim. So I'm kind of under the gun here looking at Jay Cutler, Robert Griffin III, and, you know, Dak Prescott, you know, out of nowhere, right, as one of the top guys available. And it's an interesting spot. I think, you know, maybe to piggyback off your Josh Gordon pick, I'm going to take Robert Griffin here. That defense shouldn't be very good, which, you know, should keep them throwing. Griffin also has the use of his legs. I mentioned, you know, liking that sort of player when I took Tyrod. So I probably have Cutler ranked higher. In fact, I'll check just to make sure. But I might gamble here on the upside of a guy like Robert Griffin III. And no, I actually have Griffin ranked higher these days. And so my gut reaction was correct there. I will take Griffin and we'll see who my QB3 ends up being, because I do want to have a third one who has a solid starting job.
It's quarterback time for me here in round nine. I got to take a guy. RG3 is one of my guys. I'm just really fond of his upside. How can you not be? He was a great quarterback his rookie year. We know that he has it in him. Who knows what his knees are like? He's getting Josh Gordon back. He's got a pretty good offensive line in front of him. And I think Duke Johnson's really going to help the running game, the short passing game. I think RG3 has a lot of potential. And even though I like Kevin White here, it's time to take a quarterback. I'm going with RG3, and I'm taking my next quarterback in the next round. So we'll see who lasts for me.
Well, I mentioned this earlier, but trying to camp out and wait on Michael Crabtree, and sure enough, he's available for me here. So he's the guy I'm going to pick.
That's a nice pick at this stage. Real nice pick at this stage. You mentioned you're higher on Crabtree than other people. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I think that the type of receiver he is, a guy who is pretty good in the possession game, a guy who is a decent red zone target, a guy in an offense that doesn't have a whole lot of other receiving weapons. Like, we know Amari Cooper's there, but beyond that, you're looking at Michael Crabtree, Clive Walford, and not a whole lot else. Like, no disrespect to Seth Roberts. Like, I think that he's a fine wide receiver three, but I just have a feeling that we're going to see yet another year of Michael Crabtree getting peppered with targets in 2016, just like he was last year. And I don't think that, you know, ECR and draft ranks have kind of priced that in, just that inherent volume that he should see. And that's why I like him more than anything else.
Greg, I feel real bad. I just told all the listeners I was going to take my third QB, but Brock Osweiler was taken, and that's the guy I was planning on taking here in this round. So I think I can still wait on Dak Prescott because I'm going to take another high upside guy. The only other guy I'm considering is Blaine Gabbert, and he's not going to be taken until the last round. I think Gabbert actually has quite a bit of upside with that Chip Kelly offense, which is geared for a player with his skill set. I know we haven't seen great stuff out of Gabbert, but I think he's got some potential. If not, I drop him. I pick someone else up. Who knows what's going to happen at the quarterback position? I mean, there's always injuries, and someone always pops up that's a decent streamer play. So with my third quarterback, I'll be taking another chance with one of those guys. But Kevin White's still on the board. I still need a third wide receiver, as embarrassing as that is. And I love Kevin White, so I'm grabbing him here. How about your 10th round pick? Who are you going with, Greg?
So I'm looking to pick up that QB3, perhaps. Cutler and Prescott are the top two guys who aren't named Tony Romo. I don't think you can draft Romo this early, even in a 2QB league. I think you have to draft Prescott over him. But with that said, I still only have those two running backs I drafted real early, Lamar Miller and Mark Ingram. I'm debating whether or not I want to start building some depth at that position and gambling on, you know, some one of these other quarterbacks coming back. I mean, I think with RG3 and Tyrod Taylor, there's some risk, but I do feel pretty confident at this point that those guys should start most games for their teams in 2016. And, you know, I might just gamble here and see if Dak or Bridgewater or even Trevor Siemian make it back to me later. So I'm going to take a running back, a guy I'm high on, and a guy who's the second rated available running back is TJ Yeldon. Now, he's not getting a whole lot of buzz right now, if only because they signed Chris Ivory. He's, you know, slated to get the goal line work, but Ivory's never been the picture of health. Yeldon is the receiving back. I think that he's a guy who's a little undervalued right now, and he's my pick.
Greg, this was a real bad round for me. Everybody that I wanted, like the rest of the draft, was just taken. Dak Prescott, gone. D'Angelo Williams, gone. LeGarrette Blount, gone. Charles Sims, Tevin Coleman, Stephon Diggs, James White, Christine Michael. Those are all my guys. I wanted several of those guys, and they're all gone. So I don't know what I'm going to do right now. I need a second to think about this.
All right, well, I'll tell you a little bit about what happened after I took Yeldon. I started a running back run for the ages. It looks like all of the next picks, except for two, were running backs. Jennings, wow. D'Angelo Williams, Charles Sims, Deion Lewis, Isaiah Crowell, Blount, Forsett, Derrick Henry, Alfred Morris, Christine Michael, Kenneth Dixon, James White. I had to take a breath in the middle of all those running backs. That's pretty crazy. So, I feel like they just gave me a gift at quarterback. I can go back and I can take the safe play in Jay Cutler, or I can take the upside play in Dak Prescott. Considering wow. that I took RG3 with one of those picks, I'm going to play it a little safer. I'm going to take Cutler. Their schedule's relatively soft this year, not quite as soft as the Cowboys. But my concern with taking a guy like Prescott here is that if Romo does come back and he is healthy, that he's not going to be able to cover those late bye weeks that I have for Tyrod Taylor and Robert Griffin. So Cutler's the choice for me. And, you know, I don't feel great about it. I think it's kind of a hedgy pick. It's not really a good upside pick, but at this point, it's the pick I think I need to make with the roster I currently have assembled.
I think that pick makes a lot of sense at this stage. I probably should have played it safer considering all the risks I've already taken with my QB3. But I didn't, so I'll have to deal with it. And I need another wide receiver. Devin Funchess is still there. And look, I know I'm reaching for him. I've done a couple reaches, but go get the guy you like. I like Funchess.
Yep.
There's rumors that he might end up being the number one guy in Carolina with Cam Newton. And that would be a huge value here. Either way, Funchess is going to get a lot of targets in that offense, and I'm grabbing him here. Who are you taking in round 12, Greg?
Well, Prescott's still available, and I'm thinking about maybe this is the type of team where I would want to hoard that quarterback value. We talked earlier about, you know, the leverage you can get in trades, and probably the easiest place to get that leverage is at the quarterback position. My team feels pretty solid. Like, I have two great running backs. I have three wide receivers that I like a lot in Julio Jones, Demaryius Thomas, and Dante Moncrief, and two backups at that position. Like, I don't feel the need to go out and build more depth at the wide receiver position, especially when I only have one bench spot left and the tight end to fill. So to me, it actually comes down to taking a fourth quarterback, Prescott or Bridgewater, or taking a tight end. And I feel like there's just more value to the quarterbacks in this stage, in this type of league. And, you know, I'm not a big Bridgewater guy, but I think he's probably the more correct pick. With that said, I'm just going to gamble on the upside and take Prescott. I think that there's more potential value there. When I already have three quarterbacks, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for me to make the safe pick. I might as well just go full upside and take Dak.
Well, I've only got two quarterbacks, and Teddy Bridgewater's still there for me. I know I already talked about taking Blaine Gabbert, but Teddy Bridgewater's not a bad pick at this stage. And
better than Gabbert, you know, for sure.
What's that?
I said better than Gabbert for sure.
Although Chip Kelly's offense intrigues me so much. I'm just, I love Bruce Ellington for that reason, who's still available in this league, and he's not going to get drafted. I'll keep an eye on him in waiver wires. This is not a very deep league. In a normal league, Bruce Ellington's on almost every one of my teams. He's just a freak athlete, and in that Chip Kelly offense, I think he could be utilized as the wide receiver one eventually and put up huge stats for where he's being drafted. But I do want another wide receiver. The thing is, one of the wide receivers I like, Michael Thomas, Steve Smith, who I especially like, Philip Dorsett, Rashard Matthews, and as I mentioned, Bruce Ellington, one of those guys will be there. So I'm taking Teddy Bridgewater, and I've got one more pick left. Who are you taking with your final pick, Greg?
So I need a tight end. And the top two guys are the only guys I'm considering, Dwayne Allen and Martellus Bennett. I have Allen ranked a little higher, but with that said, I have Dante Moncrief on this roster already. I don't know if I want to commit that much to the Colts offense. I actually don't think it's a terrible strategy to take both of them, but it might be higher upside to take Bennett. I'm only talking about this because I'm waffling between them. I'm not sure what I want to do here. I'll stick with my rankings. I'll take Allen. If this league had one more round, I might look just to pick up Bennett in the very next round and try to set up a bit of a committee at the tight end position.
And with my final pick, Steve Smith was taken one pick before me. That's the guy I wanted at this stage, but I'm not too upset about it because I've still got Michael Thomas and I've still got Rashard Matthews. And between those two, I really think it's pretty much a tie. And the way that I break ties is who has the better quarterback? And it's not even close. It's Drew Brees. So I'm taking Michael Thomas with my last pick. And let's see what the draft grade spits out at us. All right, Greg, I got an 84 out of 100, a B, which makes a lot of sense because I reached for a bunch of guys. I took some big risks, and that's about what I expected to get. I'll break down my team real quick. Drew Brees and Robert Griffin at quarterback with the backup of Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not very happy there. Le'Veon Bell, Mark Ingram, Jonathan Stewart, and Duke Johnson. That's four workhorses as far as I'm concerned. I know there's some risk with Duke Johnson, but he's my number four, so that's a good place to take risk. Wide receiver, Demaryius Thomas, Josh Gordon, Kevin White, Devin Funchess, and Michael Thomas. You'll notice I've got like three New Orleans Saints, but I've also got three Cleveland Browns. That makes me a little embarrassed here. And then I've got Jordan Reed at tight end. So, Greg, what draft grade did you end up with?
Well, after my poor showing the last time I was on the podcast, Bobby, I'm pleased to announce that I got a 96 out of 100 on this one. So beautiful. That puts me in the A territory. My team is pretty good. I actually really like how this one turned out. At quarterback, I have Tyrod and Robert Griffin III, backed up by Jay Cutler and Dak Prescott. Running backs are Lamar Miller, Mark Ingram, and TJ Yeldon. Not a whole lot of depth there, but with those two workhorse guys as my starters, I don't foresee a whole lot of instances where I'm not going to play them. At wide receiver, yeah. Julio Jones was a gift in the first round at number 8 overall, and I backed him up with Demaryius Thomas, Dante Moncrief, John Brown, and Michael Crabtree. Tight end is Dwayne Allen. So I didn't load up on the same offenses in quite the same way you did, but I did end up with two Colts. That's not so bad, though. I think that's all right. I really like this team.
Greg, I like your team a lot better than I like my team. It's really not even close. I like a bunch of players slipped to you that I liked, but you also were disciplined with your draft. I wasn't necessarily, and that's something to learn. You've probably done a lot more 2QB mock drafts than I've done, and that's the best way to prepare. Come on, Draft Wizard, do a bunch of mock drafts before your Labor Day weekend draft and get yourself prepared. You can customize your league settings, and it's going to give you draft grades so you can figure out what's going right and what's going wrong. You get a real feel for picking in different slots and different settings, and it's a great tool. So please use it a bunch, and it's best when you compete against your friends. It just makes it a lot more fun. JP, I want to hear, how did you do?
Well, in the time it took you, the both of you, to do one, and of course you were talking, I did three. And so I got an 81 my first time, an 86 my second time, and then I just finished my third where I got a 96 out of 100. And my third team went a lot like Greg's. I was able to get Julio Jones at 8, and then I went you went Lamar Miller in the second round, right, Greg?
That's correct.
So I did the same thing. I went Julio and then Lamar Miller. I waited on my quarterbacks. I ended up with Jameis Winston and Jay Cutler.
That's my not
other
bad.
My other running back is Matt Forte, and then my receivers are Julio, Mike Evans, and Brandon Cooks.
Wow.
And then my tight end, I bought into the Kobe Fleener on the Saints hype, so there I have him. And then my flex is Amir Abdullah, and my bench is Robert Griffin, Corey Coleman, Dwayne Allen, and Theo Riddick. And I don't know why I have two tight ends, but I guess I do.
Those wide receivers are out of this world, JP. That's a great
draft.
I know,
I'm surprised. I'm surprised. But again, it was my third while it took you, while you guys did three. So,
hey, but that just goes to show that practice paid off, right?
Exactly.
That's exactly right, Greg. That's exactly right. So once you click projected standings, it's going to show you how you break down against the rest of the league. It has me finishing fourth. And assuming you guys, seeing that you guys got such good draft grades, are you guys both first?
It's got me ranked first in this league, yes.
Yep.
Yeah. It is not a very big fan of my starters. I have the eighth best starters, but my bench is graded really high. You can go through to the draft analysis tab and see who it considers steals, value picks, reaches, and so forth. It also, the team analysis tab breaks down how you did at each position. It says I have the worst wide receivers in the league, which is for sure why I finished fourth in the league. My wide receivers are not super impressive to the experts as far as they're concerned, but I'm really fond of my guys. So, you know, I like my team. Would I have liked to have Greg or JP's team more? Yes, absolutely. But that's why you do the practice drafts, and you'll end up with a team you really like on draft day.
Yeah, you talked a lot about how certain guys fell to me or slid to me in the draft. And I think knowing when to draft those guys and knowing when to pounce on those opportunities is what's most crucial in this sort of stuff.
You're exactly right. Like I said, that discipline, when you guys listening are going into your drafts, exercise discipline, know what you're going to do and stick to it. You will never regret it if you do that. I regretted not going up and getting Larry Fitzgerald because he's my guy. I didn't stick to my plan. I was trying to get fancy and it didn't work out for me. And several other instances where, I know someone would have dropped if I would have just waited. But I got too antsy and I jumped in and picked way ahead of where a guy should have gone. And I'm not happy with my grade, but that's part of life. You're going to have some leagues like that. So
I have a quick question about You, when you finish up, it shows the team names for every team. I assume those are randomly generated.
That's right.
Because there's two Cam-related puns and there's two Gronk-related puns in my list of teams.
Interesting.
So I assume those are two of the most popular team name puns this year.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know, but that I just thought that was interesting.
I got two Robbie Gould references.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
The Golden Corral and Gold Rush.
Interesting.
He still plays?
I guess so.
Yeah.
He's a kicker, so who knows? They're all
right. Exactly.
All right, Greg, I had a lot of fun drafting against you. I think you did a great job, and your insight was spectacular. Thank you for coming on the show again. Looking forward to talking to you again.
Hey, thanks, man. This is my format of choice, so it kind of figures that I know what I'm doing. But, please check out 2QBs.com. We'd appreciate the support.
All right, great. Thanks again, Greg. For those of you listening, that's all we have for the show today. We're going to have Scott Pianowski of Yahoo.com on for the next podcast. And then later in the week, we're going to do a prediction show with Matt Harmon of NFL.com. It's going to be a blast. So please be sure to tune in for those. If you haven't already, please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. It's going to help us get exposure that we need because it's a new podcast and that helps out a lot. I really appreciate the guys who have done that. Thanks for listening and enjoy your drafts.
I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.